We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, AllTrails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Pinnacle, the Friday Eve special. The reason we get ready to do this on Monday, actually on Sunday, and we start out and ended up here so we can get to the weekend. And with the weekend coming, it's going to be fun times and great times, times we have by all. There may be some drinks involved, there may be some food involved, but we're going to have a good time. But tonight, here and right now, here front and center, we got a little thing we always do. It's a special show. It's called the Friday Eve Special for the next 35 seconds, right? So what's going to happen is tomorrow, we got something special going on at the office tomorrow. Tomorrow, we don't even have to go into the office. We're going to the hotel because this is workshop day. And at workshop day, we getting into, we at the Hilton. They got the stations with the breakfast. There's somebody with the runny eggs. It's somebody over at the pork sausages filling this plate up. It's a guy, cereal, because he don't eat all that stuff, because he not a vegan, but he not gluten-free, but he just wants some cereal. You know what I'm saying? We got a guy at the waffle maker. We got a guy standing in front of the guy with the almonds, and then they all come sit to the table, right? And they all there, everybody grubbing, and he's just, And then finally somebody's like, well, what y'all watch last night? And then the guy in the back, still trying to get his waffles right, because every time he make it, he don't flip it right. So it's burnt on one side and not done on the other. He stands up. He turns around because he's frustrated and tired of this crap. He says, it was the Thursday night throwdown. Yeah, baby. And with that being said, it's the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network. It's the Thursday night throwdown. This is what we do on Thursdays, how we transition you to Friday. And with that being said, that's the Boss B. That's the big guy, KG. I'm the Midnight Rider. And we're going to take you through some topics today. We're going to talk about some things, take you through the NHL, take you through MLB, take you through the NBA. We got a question at the end of the night. We're talking about football players and their careers and the things that are happening with these leagues having extended seasons. And with all that being said, I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to turn it over to the big guy, KG, and let him do his thing. The host with the most, the straw that stirs the drink, the man that makes it possible. Chuck Norris wore big guy KG underwear to bed. There you go. It's the big guy, KG.
Well, thank you for that arousing introduction there, Midnight Rider. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Thursday Night Throwdown presented by the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network. First and foremost, before we get anything started, gentlemen, how you feeling?
Hey, I'm doing good. The only place where you can wing it. Midnight Rider, let me ask you a question. Just let the people know, because that wasn't scripted. That was just off the tee, right? That's That's a work in progress from whenever the first Thursday, Friday, Junior, Thursday, whatever. That's a work in progress. That's what you get to do here. Beautiful.
No teleprompters.
No teleprompters, nothing written. That's just pure skill.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Hey, look, you know.
Well, gentlemen, start this thing off. Just want to take 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes of your time in my Rick Snyder voice. Not sports related per se, but it's related. It's relatable. The great Clarence Carter passed away today. For those of you that are of a certain age, you know about that commercial used to come on TV. We talked about nostalgia and shows last week and your sports shows. But you know about that commercial used to come on, and it had all the cassette tape, the two vinyls, the four cassette tapes, and then later on it had the two CDs, all the different music, and it was always the ended up with the "I've Been Stroking" by Clarence Carter. Daggone legend. Clarence Carter was an absolute legend, man. And if you are of a certain age, you know about them cookouts where you played, you heard Clarence Carter, you heard Mel Waiters and Marvin Cease. You know about stuff like that. So, you know, I just had to throw that out there because he also sings one of my favorite Christmas songs, and it's called Backdoor Santa. I make my runs about the break of day. So, yeah. I've had a wonderful time one time. Was making some deliveries in around Christmas time, and I had a big old Ram 3500 van with the windows down in the middle of winter. And when I opened that side door, that's what you heard blasting was Backdoor Santa. They called me Backdoor Santa because I make my runs about the break of day.
I don't know.
I ain't like old Saint Nick because he only got one.
I don't know. You need a universal pause for that one. Like, you need to hit that. That exactly like.
Hey, you gotta hit that. You gotta hit that Chris Webber timeline. He ain't got no more. I'm losing one.
But all jokes aside, man, rest in peace to a soul legend that is Clarence Carter. Switching gears respectfully, MLB, man, we are, what, almost 50 games in. Midnight Rider. Now, I'm not a Nats fan. The Yankees have lost. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They pissing me off right about now. But the Nats, still hot on the road, 15-10 on the road, 6-13 at home. They are now 2 games below 500. They're 21-23, so they've moved from third to second by about a half game over the Phillies. Is this a look of what's to come, or is this just fool's gold? Please, please, please. If I need to be talked off the ledge, talk me off the ledge now.
Well, I'll go back first because your Yankees, the main reason they're struggling is because of the injury bug. I think your shortstop was Barrillo, the kid that came up while Volpe was hurt. He got hurt. And Giancarlo Stanton did his annual thing, and he's been hurt. I don't know what that contract looks like down the stretch, but that contract is going to be an albatross because he's not going to be playing many games this year for them because he keeps getting – it's his shoulder, it's his elbow, it's his knee. He's a walking, he's worse than Joel Embiid almost. It's every week is something new, or every month is something new. So that's the situation on that. When it comes to the Nats, if these guys could fill their position, and I said the defense got better. Well, the only thing they did was they were better at getting to the baseball, but they still can't throw the baseball across the diamond for some reason. I think the last time I heard they had 39 errors, and that was something like 15 clear of the next closest team. They're second in terms of record on the road. And their pitching stinks. And their bullpen stinks. But their offense is number two in baseball right now. So, I mean, right now, they playing shootout baseball. And sometimes they're on the right side of shootout. And like today, they were on the wrong side of it. You know? But it's something about 500 that spooks this team and gets them out of their sorts and out of their wits. Because they were two games away from they started a day one game under 500. If they won a day, they would have been at 500. And they pooped the bed. So I don't know what it is. But, I mean, from the way they've played this year, they should be probably six games above 500. But they're their own worst enemy. You shouldn't get ready to buy playoff tickets, but you should be ready to be entertained all season long, because this isn't a team that's going to – I don't think they're going to disappear. I think they're going to play solid enough baseball. And I think a lot of this is going to be their thing is going to get helped by management's ability to keep everybody involved. Like they get this guy a day of at bats. You know, maybe he gets 2 days this week, and they're just manipulating their lineup just enough where everybody feels involved. You don't see a guy go like a whole week without getting an AB or, you know, getting some playing time. So they work their lineup or work their team to a spot where everybody gets a chance. And I think that's helping keeping everybody engaged. So even when you have these bad moments like today where you lose team one, it doesn't fall apart because everybody's got a vested interest, because they know, you know, tomorrow night might be my night when we play Baltimore. Or if I'm not playing Friday, I'm playing Saturday. So that's the beauty of the way Butera and Toboni, the GM, have run this thing. You might want to hit the horn twice now, KG. In the Montreal-Buffalo game, within the last 20 seconds, Buffalo just scored a goal and Montreal just scored a goal. So it's 2-2.
You want to know something, Midnight Rider? We haven't done that in a while, so we got to do it.
Yep. Two goals within probably 20 seconds of each other. This one goes in off of the skate. I can't tell who number 85 is. So that's how Montreal ties it up. So, but this series has been a back and forth series the whole time. Or teams make runs. So this is going to be interesting. I think it's 2-2. Yep, 2-2. But we'll get to that when we get to hockey. Oh, and don't forget to have that conversation you had online.
Yes. Most definitely. And two things about what you said. Stanton's contract is up at the end of next season. He gets paid $29 million this year, $25 next year.
Okay.
But, I mean, in baseball money, that's like getting a player for $5 million a season in football. It's not really a whole lot, but he signed a 13-year, $325 million contract with the Marlins in 14. And my guy can't stay healthy. This is the problem that we faced the last couple of years. Everybody in the Yankees fandom, we've said, you know, Big Aaron Judge needs help in the lineup. But if Stanton's always hurt, I'm losing track of who my players are, but if Stanton's always hurt, he's supposed to be the big pop at either 2 or 4. Well, but if you're not there, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now your big pop is the kid Ben Rice. Rice has about 11 to 12 home runs on the season so far. So he's been the guy that helps keep the party going and everything. So you're not missing out of Giancarlo's production because you're getting it from Rice. I think you could use another guy to help out a little bit. I mean, Chisholm's flashed and everything. So that's how you kind of stay afloat. And the only problem you have is Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay in this year. Junior Caminero, they stole him from Cleveland in a trade a couple years ago. He's playing out of this world. And it's ironic that he has 40 home run pop, and the Indians or the Guardians don't have a person with that type of bat to ball skill right now in their organization, or hasn't shown that promise. So that's crazy in its own right. They've got Yandy Diaz. They got this kid. I think his name is Stevenson. The Joker is a better hitting Hamilton. If you remember Hamilton, the speed guy that used to be able to run like the wind. Mm-hmm. Well, this kid can run like the wind. And he can hit a little bit. So it gives him a little advantage in that regard. But their pitching is Tampa Bay has a system. Tampa Bay has a way. In the Tampa Bay way, they pitch, they do everything. They pitch and hit. I think they got the number one record. I know at least in the East. I think they may have the number one record in the American League.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'll check that out. Where would your next question?
You're absolutely right. Now, talking about the Nats, I think you got it right. I think they are scared of 500, but I will say this. You talk about exciting, and the first thing I thought of was those Michael Morris Nats. It was Michael Morris, and it was a couple of other hitters. You know, they were all over the radio. Every other commercial was a Nats player. You know, they were quoting Bryce Harper and everything. Oh, that's a clown question, bro. You know, Steven Strasburg was on everything. I'm surprised they didn't do Eastern Motorcars commercials at the time. But they were an exciting team to watch. But they just never could get over the hump. And I think that's where you're going to where they're about to, the Nats are going to fall back in line to, in my opinion. I think they're just going to be not even middle of the road. I think they're going to be middle of the road the first half of the season, and then they're going to be grease lightning the second half. And it's going to be like, oh, my God, they got a chance. And they're going to get to the playoffs. If they make they get past the wild card, they'll make the ALDS. And either they'll have a power outage there, or they'll have the NLDS, and they'll probably have a power outage in the NLCS if they make it that far. It's like they'll squeak by, and then all of a sudden, you know, you geeked up, and it's like they're just going to let you down. And I think you're going to deal with that for the next 3 years. Because they're not going to get it.
My bad. The kid I was talking about was Chandler Simpson. I didn't mean to say Stevenson. I don't know why I thought it was Stevenson. But it's Chandler Simpson. He's hitting 306 right now. I don't think ESPN puts their stolen bases on there. Nah, they don't. On their bios. I was corrected.
The Sabres just scored again. It's 3-2. This is absolutely nuts. It's 8:53 left in the first. Shots on goal. The Sabres have had 4 shots on goal, 3 goals scored. The Canadians, 10 shots on goal, 2 goals scored. 8:34 left in the first, ladies and gentlemen. You can watch it on TNT, True TV, or HBO Max. Please run there right now if you want to be entertained.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm wanting to run off now, but
so I'm corrected by JC. He says Rice now has 13 homers and Judge has 16. So that's what's powering the Yankees right now. Then Maddie just said another goal, so he caught what BJ saw. JC says Buffalo and Montreal going to score 20 goals at this pace. Crazy. He might be right. This is ridiculous. I've never seen a game, especially in the playoffs, with this kind of thing. Thank you. I missed that one. Perry Jones says family. See, Perry, you know how it is, baby.
Perry.
There you go. Right.
Right.
Okay. I see you cooking there.
That's what I'm talking about.
I said, make sure you in here when we talk NBA because I got something to piggyback off from last night.
Oh, that's what you said? I heard something different. My bad. I wasn't listening good.
I thought he was doing the Kung Fu joint, you know, the old Kung Fu movies. I thought that's what he was doing.
Well, gentlemen, let's hop the bus. Let's hop on 295 real quick and go up the road, up the Baltimore Washington Parkway, and let's talk about the O's real quick. They're 20-24, 9 games out of first, 5-5 in their last 10, 12-12 at home, but 8-12 on the road. Should we expect anything, Midnight Rider? Substantial. I think that's the word that I think I'll use. They're substantial from the Orioles this season. Or are they still a season or two away from really turning the corner and being that force that we know that they can be in their building to be?
I just think they just need to wake up their bats. Rushman's been solid. Alonzo has struggled. Well, got off to a slow start. We're just getting to June 1st, so I always tell people, my dad used to always had a saying that it ain't been hot long enough for everybody else to get hot. Like, there's some players that when the weather turns and you get that warm weather, that's when they actually start hitting. You know, they ready to get out of April and May. They don't want them 50-degree nights and them 30-degree nights or snow, because it was snow in Colorado the other night. They ready to get past all that stuff. But the O's have the talent. They just haven't been hitting consistent enough. You know, Basulio, I apologize for pronouncing his name wrong if I am. They found this kid, Jackson, playing second. I don't know if he can keep it up, keep the pace. But if he can keep the pace, he's going to make it hard for some of the other young guys coming back off of injury. So it's going to be interesting how the O's make this work down the stretch. I see Anthony in the comments. The Marlins are batting the ball around. They can get Yuri Perez back to his form from 2 years ago. The Marlins can be dangerous. And then they got the kid hitting second. Anthony, correct me on his name. I want to say Xavier Edwards, but I might be wrong on his name on that part. But that kid's putting back the ball. He's giving them something in their lineup that's making it interesting. Let me see if I can find his name. And if you see Anthony, pull it up. Pull that comment for me, and we good to go. But, yeah, Edwards is his last name. Yeah, Xavier Edwards is the guy.
Xavier Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, so he's playing well. The problem for the Marlins, I think their issue is Kyle Stowers, the kid they got from Baltimore. He's hitting .224. I don't even know if he has the home run this season. So that's where the Marlins' problems are, because this kid was supposed to be a fixture in the middle of their lineup. It was the right move to make to get a guy like that, because you want somebody that's controllable in a franchise like the Marlins, because they're not going to pay the guy on their second contract. He's got, I think, 3 or 4 years left of control, so he's perfect for them, but he just got to hit the baseball. So that's where I think the Marlins' problem lies.
All right. Well, before we switch gears, let's go ahead. We're going to reset because we're going to be talking some playoffs. Anthony said Liam Hitch is making up for Kyle not hitting home runs right now.
Okay. We're taking a commercial break?
We're going to take our commercial break.
Okay.
And we're going to reset, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk some playoffs. So,
I wonder what this is.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
you. So what was we ever?
Oh my gosh! Look at that. Had no idea that was gonna be the commercial you played. None at all. Well, I'm shocked. What was that? The WrestleManiacs? Who are they? Never heard of those guys before. Welcome to the Thursday Night Throwdown, ladies and gentlemen. Brought to you by the Sideline Junkies. This is just one big commercial for the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs, as they say, where we promote the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs the whole time. Nothing but the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs because they are the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs. And I guess that's what KG does. So it's all good. There's a note here from JC says, agree, MR, weather gets hot, bats get hot. Statement. Yeah, and Holiday is in Bowie. Okay, that's what I thought.
I was wondering where he was at.
Yeah,
I was looking. I was like, somebody's missing.
Yeah.
I didn't know they sent him back down.
I think he got hurt early, and they he's just been on a rehab. And the problem is now, I mean, Jackson's played well, and the question is, like, how soon, how much more time does Holiday need, and then are you going to just move the kid Jackson out of space or what? So we'll see how it goes, man. And JC gave you a compliment on your commercial. He said a very nice commercial.
Oh, so that goes out to the People's Choice Don Rodriguez commercial maker extraordinaire. I got to pull out the rest of them. Like
I bet you will.
No, we good. We good.
Nah, I bet you will.
we good. We good.
You turn an hour on air time to 38 minutes because the rest of them are going to be WrestleMania's commercials.
Right. What did you say? Oh, that's a great answer. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. You come back and then be like, we'll be right back.
Gotta keep going, man.
Another one.
See? DJ Khaled, baby.
Be the best.
Looking at the NHL playoffs, you got the Golden Knights versus the Ducks tonight at 9:30. Golden Knights can actually close that out with a win. They're up 3-2 in that series. In progress right now, still with 3:28 left in the first period. Buffalo's up on Montreal 3-2. That series is tied at 2-2. The Minnesota Wild go down to the Avalanche 4-3 and lose the series 4-1. So they're sitting the Avalanche are sitting at home waiting because the Avalanche are waiting and the Hurricanes are waiting, right?
There you go. Yep.
Okay. So they're waiting the winners of these two series in progress. Something we talked about offline, because I didn't understand, and I got to give a big shout out to Maddie and the Midnight Rider, because it didn't make much sense to me. The coach of the Oilers, Chris Knobloch, was fired after his first round loss in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I asked the question, how is it that you get fired if you took your team to the Stanley Cup finals? Not just the playoffs, the finals. In 24 and 25, here we are in 26. Yes, you had a first round exit, but how do you get fired after so much success? And Maddie responded with, I think Edmonton took a step backwards from McDavid. Exit interview, I don't think he liked a lot of things. Still no defense, no goaltending, made an awful trade, but fired the coach. And Midnight Rider said exit interviews say a lot. They do. I don't think he had much accountability for poor play, and that would get you fired, is what Maddie said. I don't understand how you measure success.
Look at what Maddie just posted. If that's all you need to know.
Hold on. I'm glad you guys watching the comments because I'm not.
I know you ain't. You too busy firing up the next WrestleMania.
It's already loaded. Maddie says, simple, the best player in the world doesn't like him.
That's all you need. That's it. That's all you need. It don't matter about goals against, goals for, shots on goal. It don't matter. If you 50 million over the cap, if you got one of the best players, one in the NHL, or and they on your team and they say, hey, I don't the guy's shoe, he wore brown shoes with a black belt, get him out of here. That's it.
Well, it's even that's a great line, but it's this what you gotta think about. McDavid, I think, and Maddie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think McDavid's on a 2-year extension. And he gave him 2 years to get this shit right. And there's one thing that JP Finley always says is, you know, sports is a business where you got to protect yourself at all times. GMs will get rid of a coach instead of getting rid of themselves, even though GM probably part of the problem because you keep going into the season with bad goalies and poor defensemen or poor defense. But he's not going down that sword. The coach got to. And I think he's absolutely right. I think Knobloch is a very big part of the reason that they're not moving forward.
I can't. I mean, this is why you talk to the experts. He said Knobloch makes no in-game adjustments. And that show, he said, Ryan Nugent Hopkins will be going on his 11th coach in like 1,200 games. That's insane.
No, here's what's insane. Steve, what is it? Carble, the coach for the Washington Capitals, Carberry. He is now 3 years into his coaching tenure. He has the sixth longest coaching tenure in hockey. He just burns and churns through coaches. It's like you get 3 years, and if that's it, that's it.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
But it didn't used to be like that. When did that switch flip?
No. Hockey's always been a burn and churn culture. It is what it is. And after that, I think you're just thinking about Boudreaux, but Boudreaux and the Caps aren't what the rest of the world was doing.
But it was we had Boudreaux, then after Boudreaux, you brought in it was Adam Oates first, right?
Yeah, and that lasted 2 years, maybe three.
Yeah, because he wanted out. He wanted out of that. He was like, yeah, I'm done. And I think you brought in was it Dale Hunter next? I can't remember how it went, but we brought in another former player. That only lasted a year or two because he was just transitioning. And you bring in Barry Trotz. Trotz gets you to the Stanley Cup. You win a Stanley Cup, but then you don't bring them back a year later. You let them walk.
Yeah, but see, you got to think about this, and this city is infamous for this. Everybody's going to say, oh, they mad at them for not bringing Trotz back, but they also had a young coach in the wings. And they thought the young coach was the next best thing. So they took their chance on the next young thing and transitioned from the old guy to the new guy.
It's only a thing that can be you can't replicate this anywhere else in the league. It can only be done at Capital One Arena between the Wizards and the Capitals.
But think about it. We sit here. There's people now that have called in the radio stations in D.C. and said, oh, the Redskins should have fired Jay Gruden after 2015 and made Sean McVay the coach. That way he would have stayed and we never left. But Sean McVay at the time was probably 29. And you probably thought he was like another – because I even said it. I said he was a year away until I heard Grant Paulson on the radio talking about him going to a St. Louis interview. And I think Grant gave like 5 minutes on the kind of guy that Sean McVay was. And I was like, oh, it's over. He's not coming back. If I'm the GM or the owner of the Rams, he leaving with a contract. That's it. And that's what happened.
I understand having a guy in the wings, and everybody all, you know, hindsight's 50-50 if you Steve Sperry, but it's 2020. And I understand having a guy in the wings, and Perry said, guess I need to produce a new commercial, huh, Emma?
Hey, man.
It's gotta be a minute and 5 seconds long, Perry.
But that's at the end, but no commercial's official unless you mention the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs in the commercial. We got to be tune in Saturday to the WrestleManiacs at 9 p.m. on Saturday, and that way it'll get played. But he won't play it if that's not in there.
But I look at it now with Barry Trotz. I was like, let's run it back because obviously we had something going. Let's run it back. Ovechkin say we no suck this year,
right?
Like we should have ran that back. Bump what you got in the wings. Let's run it back. At least give him a chance to defend the title. And if we get back, we get back. If we don't, okay, then we'll end it. But if this is working, and this could have been a multi-year thing, we screwed the pooch because we don't know.
And you also screwed the pooch because you didn't try the other guy. I mean, no matter how this plays out, there's always going to be, because we have the results, people can always go back and check the results. Think of how many times, I'll say this for later on. Remind me about the comment I was going to make about the NBA draft when we get to the NBA.
Okay. Because Maddie said Buffalo. All right. Maddie said Buffalo 3-2 after 1 in game 5. Thank you for that update, Maddie. Please keep them coming. And speaking of the NBA, speaking of front office, we got the NBA playoff update. And it's a couple of things we want to cover before we start covering schools. Something that was said last night on Nothing But Net. You guys were talking about Daryl Morey being out.
Whoa. It's called Nothing But Net. It airs at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday nights here on the Sideline Junkies Network.
It's just WrestleMania. It's just WrestleMania commercials in here.
Yes. And so you catch us on YouTube or Facebook Live. It is C. Perry, myself, the Young Bucks, Josh, and JG. And we give you now, we used to take you around association in 30 minutes, but now it expanded. So I don't know. We got to change that tagline.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. WrestleManiac Saturday at 9. Yeah. No, but you guys did a great show last night, number one. Let me give you your flowers for that, number one. At the beginning of the show, and I'm sitting there, I'm trying to get the beard good, and so I'm moisturizing the beard. I'm putting oil on, and I hear y'all talking about it. I'm sitting there, I'm typing, I'm texting. I'm like, hold on. You talk about who can take over in Philly. You bringing in Bob Myers, trying to find a new GM or president of basketball operations. I was like, you got him. He's sitting right there. He wants to take some time off to be in the out of the coaching ranks. I said, bring Steve Kerr in. I don't know if you guys agree with that, Perry. You tell me. Bring Steve Kerr in your front office. He has the experience from what he put together in Phoenix, so he knows how to do it.
Have you seen Steve Kerr try up cricket with draft picks?
I've seen who he wanted to draft compared to who he was made to draft.
How do you know he's made to draft those people?
Because he's come out and said, oh, yeah. And the workouts, this is who we want. And then every time he said this is who we want, they make him pick a James Wiseman. They made him pick a Kuminga. Okay. They said those were front office picks. It's what I heard. And now me and Steve Kerr go way back. Like, when he was playing in Cleveland, we go way back.
Okay.
So. Okay. These are things that I was told.
Mm-hmm. Put your boots on, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, man.
So you say Steve Kerr, and I say no on that one.
Okay.
And then go ahead and hit Perry's other comment.
So that kills that.
He said Kerr is going back with Golden State for the next 3 years, not going anywhere. But I thought he said he was stepping down as head coach.
So he was walking away from. Slow down. You good? There was a report, but I think they gave him some time, and then they came back. They gave him an extension,
you know how coaches are. Sometimes coaches need to say some things like, I'm thinking about stepping away, and then that negotiation gets sped up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you guys say, you know, it's just like in college football, you know, somebody fires a coach, you know, Penn State looking for a coach, Coach Boss Man, he might be interested in leaving. But, you know, if we throw him another, I'm not saying that he was trying to leave or he's unhappy here, but, you know, being his agent, you know, we just pump him up, you know, a couple extra million, he might stay. He might not even interview at Penn State. You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes.
Perry said no. And your sources are sauce. Well, my source is none other than my good friend, Stephen Douglas Kerr. I mean, I talk to him on a regular basis. We email back and forth and stuff like that. And I always ask, say, you remember that time in Cleveland when you was a rookie and you was on the bench and Jordan held the ball out in that preseason game? He turned around and told you, watch this. And he went around and went baseline and went up and under. Yeah, we talk about stuff like that all the time.
Make sure those boots are knee high, too. You might need a waterproof coat too.
See, there you go. Nothing but net. 7:30 Eastern time. Wednesday. And where can that be seen at, Midnight Rider?
Right here on the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network. We go live on YouTube, Facebook Live, and also on X.
And Anthony said, because it's culturally fit, I can see Steve Kerr coming to work as an advisor in the Heat front office. Him and Pat Riley ain't working together. Stop it.
Every time we talk about basketball, he got to bring up the Heat.
The Heat, the Marlins, the Dolphins.
That's his one. Every time we talk about basketball, he got to bring up daggone Miami Heat.
What's up, baby, man?
He loyal.
No, I love it. I love it, man. Because that's you got to – if you trust people, and this is – I'm going to take from it because he trusts our opinion about his teams. And I appreciate that because he can just go and turn to somebody else in Florida who's got boots on the ground. But instead, he comes here, takes this abuse from us because, you know, we like family anyway, and then still listens to our opinions. So I'm down with it.
I mean, we got boots on the ground. They just thigh highs because we got to go through so much shit.
Here we go.
I was a little nervous where we were going with that one.
Yeah, I was nervous too.
You should be nervous on this network.
Jeez.
Perry said, beat me to it, KG. Yeah, but I get it. And if Steve Kerr leaves Golden State, if y'all say no to the 76, I wouldn't mind having Steve Kerr come and either work, be in the front office of Chicago or coach. Because, I mean, he has ties there, but I would enjoy that. Because I need somebody in Chicago. I need something in Chicago that's going to be real. That's going to take me out of the doldrums, out of that 10th spot, out of that 11th spot. I need something that's going to put me the first year, put me in the 6th spot, the 5th or 6th. And in the second year, you got me in the top 4. I'm used to being on top of the conference, looking down at you peons in the Eastern Conference. That's where I'm used to being.
So you think Steve Kerr, if he did leave Golden State, would go somewhere and take a rebuild job?
Exactly. Not a rebuild.
No, it's not a rebuild. It's a full-on construction.
Full scale. This is nothing. This house had good bones.
No. You're talking about the house. They haven't even cleared the land yet. Okay?
No. Land's cleared.
The bulldozers. There's no water. They got to lay
down. No. Hold on. I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
The land's cleared. The outline is made. We just ain't poured the foundation because we have no foundation. It's just a hole in the ground right now. The utilities ain't even stubbed out. How about that?
But I'm thinking this land is something you got tricked on and thought more people were coming with you, and it's just a plot in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right in Tornado Alley.
And it's got nuclear waste underneath like 7 levels down. So, yeah. EPA gonna come in and shut us down at any moment. That's how fucked up it is.
Built on a burial ground.
Ooh. Andy said, by the way, did you guys see the reports from Adam Schefter chefs are doing that train about training camp. The Commanders and Dolphins are doing joint practices. Everybody does that now.
I didn't see that, but
I didn't see that one.
Where is it going to be at? Is it going to probably be in Florida?
There's two. Trust me, you went full scale Anthony in this, so you'll get it in two comments.
Perry said once again, Kerr signed a three year contract extension, and it's not a conversation. I agree with that. I was just trying to dream for a little bit. Said the first joint practice is at the facility for the Commanders, and the second joint practice is going to be the practice facility for the Dolphins.
Okay.
That's crazy. That's a lot of
travel for a joint practice.
We're a dysfunctional family who likes abusing each other when it comes to sports. Agreed.
That's why you fit in.
Absolutely.
And Perry said, my bad, two-year extension. So,
right.
BJ, I know you had something.
Oh, I want to play this. It's
hold on, comment. 1 second. Let me
fire away because I gotta get to it.
Oh, okay. Well, when you find it, I'll mute my mic because I don't want the obscenities to be heard over the airwaves.
Okay, I got it. So whenever y'all ready.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is a comments from Rich Paul about LeBron James. Okay, so let me get it.
Jordan didn't play anybody.
Here we go. Watch this.
Hold on. Check this out. Let's make it a little bit deeper. I have some for this. It's a lot deeper. Thanks, when you say he didn't have it, right? When you look at Michael grew up with a mom and a dad in his household. When you look at Kobe grew up with a mom and dad in his household. When you look at LeBron's mom was 16 when she had him as a child. Now, he spent a lot of time by himself, right? He did not develop. Taking the last shot over three people is a selfish gene. That don't make you having killer instinct. That's a selfish behavior. That's a gene. That's
Listen to me.
It ain't got nothing to do with killing. Because the killers is in the joint. And some of them are walking out here. This ain't no killer shit on a basketball court. I've been around them all. What I'm trying to explain to you is, psychologically, when you spend the time that you spent by yourself,
and all of them,
quite naturally, you want to do what? You want to befriend people, and you built a game off of making other guys look good. LeBron sees the pass, and you score just as much as he sees himself score, which is why he's the only athlete to have other self-made millionaires in his circle and not look down upon it, because he don't have that selfish gene. Whereas when I got all the toys in the toy chest and I got the optionality of what toys I want to play with, and if you don't do it how I do it, I take my ball and go home. When you put that on the basketball court, then that creates another gene, which we call killer instinct, which is fine. I got no problem with it. But you got to look deeper into the psychology of it all. Michael Jordan is my man through and through, so I'm not knocking Michael Jordan. But what I'm saying, LeBron grew up making guys better. So quite naturally, he's going to always make the proper basketball play. Michael grew up playing against his brother every day. I couldn't beat my older brother, Larry. And so when I finally beat him, that created, no matter what, I'm taking this shot, right? So it's not a knock to none of them, but when you talk about a basketball player, there's never been a basketball player born on anywhere on this God green earth that is better than LeBron James at playing basketball. Now, if you want to talk about taking the 36 elements of basketball and stripping it down to one, which is scoring, give me Michael Jordan. That's it.
That's it.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, All Trails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Comments by one Rich Paul, agent for Michael Jordan. I think that brand is it Clutch Sports? LeBron James. I'm sorry. Look, when you got your knee highs on, you're going knee deep through shit. All right, you get confused a little bit. Now, shout out to Rich Paul, Clutch Sports. I love what they built. And this is my opinion. And I don't want to drag anybody into this, but this is by far, and I'm going to probably say this tomorrow because the internet is a magical place, the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. Now, to quote Nephew Josh, they were on Unapologetic Sports, Tuesdays, 6:30, right here on the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network, Facebook, X, and YouTube. Ryan Bryan, Lee Ice, and whoever pops up, right? Nephew Josh on the GOAT show last week said, let's stop talking about who the GOAT is and who your favorite player is. And obviously, Rich Paul has a dog in the fight with LeBron Raymond James, right? This comparison, it's just, and I'm going to channel my inner Lee Ice. The excuses and the tap dancing that's made for LeBron James is amazing at times. It's just, you going to a single parent household versus a two parent household. Is this your only data? I mean, I came from a single parent household. And I don't agree with this at all. We just have to get to a point where we understand that there are different generations watching sports. You have a generation that grew up watching LeBron James. That's all they know. You have a generation that watched the beginning of LeBron James' career. You have a generation that started watching basketball when Steph Curry was launching bombs. That's all they know. So instead of, and this is my advice, instead of the old heads trying to argue everybody down, right? We got our phones in our hand. When these youngins be like, man, Steph Curry is the best shooter ever, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you ever seen Mark Price shoot? You ever seen Stojakovic shoot the ball? Instead of trying to argue it down, it needs to become a conversation of education, enlightenment, where you're teaching, hey, man, look, you think Draymond Green's a bad boy. You ever watch the Pistons? You seen Bill Laimbeer? You seen Joe Dumars? Have you ever seen Xavier McDaniel, Vernon Maxwell? You seen these guys play? Because I can show you some bad boys too. But I think it gets too argumentative where you're trying to prove one or the other. And for us, for our age, we've grown up, we've seen everything up to this point. So, you know, we watched it. We watched LeBron James. And I'm going to say something that so you know where I stand with LeBron James, okay? They just got swept by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I told KG this yesterday, I believe. If this was LeBron James 10 years ago, we'd be going to game 7. Okay? That's what I think about LeBron James. I've said on this show since we've been doing this show. He is a great, great bat. He's a freight train. Okay? He took Cleveland to the finals however many straight times with garbage cans around him. If this was 2016 LeBron James without Luka, with that squad he had right now, you'd be going to Oklahoma City for game 7. They might not pull it out because Oklahoma City's strong, but he is that good of a player. And this back and forth comparison, who's the best, this strong measuring contest, it's just ridiculous. And just hearing that, look, I know that's your boy. I know that's your boy. You represent him. But it's just ridiculous to hear this shit over and over again. It really is. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's all I'm going to leave because KG over there boiling. I'm glad I found the clip. I'm going to let him go now. It's crazy. They're both great players. Everybody's going to have a different top three, top five, top 10. Now, where it gets kind of ridiculous at, can we have this conversation with a beer or your favorite beverage and not it turn into fisticuffs? Let's have this. We could have a debate all the time. We can go back and forth with stats and rings, how many times everybody got swept. I'm to the point, and I just appreciate the game of basketball. Because we can always have the GOAT debate. We can always have the GOAT debate, but the GOAT debate is going to be different if you're talking to somebody that's in their 40s, in their 30s, in their 20s, talking to a 13-year-old. It's going to be different. We had kids a couple years ago saying Paul George was one of the greatest players ever. Okay, mm-hmm. And that's all. I'm where my mute button at? I'm gone. Hold on.
Go ahead, KG.
This is just a message to Rich Paul. So if anybody's watching this, you can get this message to Rich Paul. And I just want to channel my inner Bill Cosby, my inner Heathcliff Huxley.
You might not want to do that. Cause
No.
Hold on. Let me cover my drink. Hold on a second.
That's fine. But you felt good saying that, and you said it with your chest. You said it with your whole heart. No wonder you get D's and E's in every goddamn thing. You just, that's the most stupidest thing I ever heard in my damn life. You think your brain gonna ooze out your goddamn ear because you made the stupid shit? What the hell is your problem? You worried about somebody growing up in a two-parent household versus a single-parent problem? I grew up in a single-parent, and I'm gonna kill him my goddamn self in more ways than one. Don't you give me that? Oh, it's not about no dangle. Killer, you can't. The killers ain't walking the street. They're on the inside. Shut up. The fuck, man? I'm sick of this. Like, more and more each day, people make comments like that, and we fall farther and farther from God's grace. Please stop. Now, where's my mute button?
Well, mute button and gets to some of them comments. I know I held us up with this topic, but...
Hold on.
Y'all don't get off the air on time anyway, so it don't matter.
I mean, it don't matter about this part. But I think Rich Paul's got a point. Because you two guys, if we put this in a podcast platform, you two guys are the most generous guys in the podcast world. You guys don't always need to have a last comment. You don't need to have a fancy background. And then there's me. I come from a two-parent household. I got to have my name on the back. I got to have all these things. I got a T-shirt with my name on it. I got a hat with my name on it. So I mean, it's my fault. I am the MJ. I am the guy in this group. You know what I'm saying? I am the person that makes it about me. It is always about me because I have two parents in my household. And you know what? Deal with it. So that's it.
I'm not fading up top. Am I fading up top?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
That's it.
But you know what? I'm gonna start using that as an excuse. Why you didn't show up and work on time today? Man, I came from a single parent household, bro. You came from a single parent household, so you know what it's like to be on time. That's gonna be an excuse for everything. Why did you hit that man in the street? Man, I came from a single parent household. See, if you came from a two parent household, you could see stuff like that. You could see the light turning red. I can't see that.
That's gonna be my next excuse.
Why are you still sitting in that chair? Came from a single parent household. I'm waiting for my dad to come back from cigarettes and milk.
That's right. You said he was coming back any minute.
Right
back. I'll be right back, son.
Yeah.
Man, Jesus. Andy said, I come to you guys because you don't sugarcoat anything for my team. I don't trust any of the beat reporters down here to cover my teams. They make everything about sunshine and rainbows. Yeah,
I like that. I appreciate that.
We love that. And he says, it's not even a conversation. Jordan is the best player of all time. LeBron is the most adorable player of all time. And I have Kareem ahead of LeBron.
Okay.
And he said, the reason why I have Kareem ahead of LeBron is because my uncles on my dad's side are Lakers fans, and they always talked about Kareem all the time when I was younger.
Your uncles are good people.
BS comment I've ever heard. This is comments coming from LeBron James's cult members constantly say that he's better than Kareem and MJ. JoJo checking in, and she says, it's just ridiculous. And Anthony says, hi, JoJo. Perry said, this is why the GOAT conversation is low-hanging fruit. It's subjective, and it's only meant to take up time.
Yeah, you just drop it in the middle. It's like a bomb. You just drop it in the middle of the room and just watch it happen.
And then you walk out. Some of us watched all two MJ, Kobe, and LeBron.
Mm-hmm. And that, anytime you see Lebby, that translates into LeBron for Joni, JoJo.
Anthony said the most underrated three-point shooter that nobody really talks about is Mitch Richmond from the Run TMC Golden State Warrior teams. Now, he wasn't there with Chris Webber. He was already gone to Sacramento by the time Chris Webber got there. And Perry said, I blame Skip for amplifying this asinine topic over the past 15 years. Shannon Sharp, too. And they've been giving him the blues over on X. Oh. Just want to let that be known.
Shannon Sharp. I love Uncle Shad, but goodness gracious.
They found out he gets paid by Rich Paul and them to talk about LeBron.
I bet he do.
Because he wasn't talking like that before. But for him to say that the Lakers were never on TV before LeBron got there, I watched the Lakers as a kid.
I watched the Lakers
from the time I was a kid until I'm an adult. The Lakers had a special uniform for when they played on ABC on Sundays. That white uniform, that Chick Hearn uniform. Was paid TV on Sundays.
I don't get, even if you're getting paid to say something, at some point you gotta have some type of
morals
and balls and be like, hey, yeah, that ain't quite right. Hey, can you get the PR people to kind of rephrase that a little bit? That is, and I unfortunately, like I'm gonna say it probably later on tonight when I watch something on internet. It's just, that's the dumbest shit I've ever... I just said that like 20, 15 minutes. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. The Lakers weren't on TV before LeBron James. They're talking about... They asked Jenny Buss if LeBron James get a statue. She laughed, but I had to play it off. Like, he's still playing. Why the hell would he get a statue outside Staples Center?
I'm going to tell you right now.
He's a choke artist. In my honest opinion, he had to learn how to win by coming to play with D. Wade. I agree with what Perry said. In other words, who gives a fuck about a GOAT? Yeah, I'm...
Whoa. Don't say it like that. Because you know the greatest sign in the Zodiac system is a GOAT. And that stands for Capricorns.
And I came from a single-parent household, and I have to agree with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthony got a good point. ESPN has their tongue up LeBron's butt kissing his ass all the time. Like he's a creator of sports of basketball. It pisses me off as a young basketball fan.
But ESPN posted that article I posted yesterday about him being upset that JJ Redick got that game ball. So I don't know. Maybe somebody, the check ain't clear somewhere.
And not Perry says, suck an argument.
They're chasing the story. Wait, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We're going to jump on over to our question of the night. And this is posed by...
You don't want to take a WrestleMania break before we
Let's do that. I mean,
it's
only appropriate, right?
Yeah, it's only appropriate. Let's reset, come back, and we'll finish this thing off.
Like eight other shows on the network.
You're right. I mean, it's the only show we promote, obviously.
I mean, I got you.
Okay, go ahead.
Uh-oh. My guy's all frozen.
I'm not.
Tonight, the bell rings and the stories begin. Welcome to the ride.
Where I wanna be.
Wow, that's another great commercial for the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs. But because I come from a two-parent household, take this.
Okay, I see what we're doing here.
Yeah, I see what we're doing here. It's only because I came from a two-parent household that I would be selfish enough to make this video about myself. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, all you hear that network? Everybody in the network, you hear this? You hear this challenge? I'm just letting y'all know, okay? I see where we're going. It's because I came from a single-parent household. I get it. Okay.
We'll move back to the set. Sideline Junkies Podcast Network. Oh, this has been fun. You only get this kind of craziness and debauchery when the three of us together. When it's two of us, you still get some level of it, but not to this level. Thursday Night Throwdown. Question of the night. I don't know how I put this into a question, but here's a question, or here's something that concerns me about sports. And the NFL, we're at 17 football games right now. Eventually, and I think the year is going to be somewhere between 2028 and 2030, we're going to get to the 18-game schedule. Right now in college football, we're at the point where these guys are playing anywhere between 13 and 17 ball games. These schedules and this level of gameplay and these game logs, what do you think the effect is going to be on guys' careers long-term and on the league long-term? So I'll let you guys start with that because it was my question. And I know I have, because I came from a two-parent household, the best answer to this question. But I'm going to let y'all go first, you single-parent guys.
Go ahead, KG.
In my honest opinion, if I'm being serious.
You should be.
Well, yeah. This is wear and tear. This is what we talked about. Man, we had to be talked about this about a year and a half ago. We were talking about it happening in baseball, where you got these 9 and 10 year olds throwing knuckleballs and curves, and you know, you wondering why by the time they're 18 and they're making the majors, they need Tommy John before they can come up to the major leagues. After the draft, oh yeah, he's gonna need Tommy John. So he's gonna miss 2 years. So he's missing his 18 and 19 year old seasons because he has to have Tommy John, then rehab. It's the same thing. And it's a little bit more violent when we talk football, because you think about it with high school football. And then let's start with peewee football. You got peewee football, then you got high school football, then you got college football. And if you're at a good program, let's say you're at a Notre Dame, you're at a Ohio State, a Indiana, you're playing 16 games. You know, you got a potential to go from the beginning of the season all the way to the end. And then you're coming into the league and you're playing, you're doing that for 3-4 years. And then you come into the league and you're probably playing 10 years and then you're done. We're not going to see guys have 15-year careers anymore. We're not going to see guys with longevity playing 20, 21-year careers. I mean, even the kickers are not lasting that long. This is the worst thing possible. And it's killing the sport, and it's killing the players.
Go ahead, boss man.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I think this is a great thing. And I'm going to say that because it presents more opportunity for revenue and more opportunity for players. Here's where I think that the NFLPA dropped the ball when they agreed to the 17th game. I thought they should have – that was their striking for maybe some sort of guaranteed contracts and to increase the roster size from 53 to maybe 60, 63, 65. Because if you're going longer, you're going to need more people. It's just that simple. So I don't know why the NFL – if that was on the table. But now if they're going to increase it to 18 – if I'm the NFLPA, if I'm the head, you have to go talk about guaranteed money. Guaranteed money, more spots. So this is going to create hopefully more roster spots for more opportunities for players. We talked about an episode how whenever we went through whenever it was, a couple months ago, about how the dynamics of offense are changing and how, you know, these teams – you know, need four receivers. So, you know, you just like this NFL draft pass, you had a receiver heavy draft class, and that's where the NFL is going. It's a pass happy league. So now teams are carrying 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers, 8 receivers, because you're coming out 4, 5 wide the entire game. You know, you look up, you might get a James Cook or a Christian McCaffrey or something to help drive that offense. But if you notice, they can catch the ball also. Right. Mm-hmm. So more opportunity. But like I said, the college football thing is just going to turn into more money for these kids, more opportunity. We're going to get an NCAA basketball tournament where it's 120 teams in the tournament. We're going to get a college football playing tournament that got 40 teams in there. And you're going to be playing a college football tournament the whole month of December before you get to the championship, the end of February or whatever it is. It's going to be a spectacle. It's about money, but I'm for the NIL. I love seeing the college players get paid and everything. So it's just going to be more opportunity for them, but it has to be done correctly. Like I said, the NFL, the main thing when they went to 17, the first thing I said, what we talked about on this show, whenever it happened, was all they going to increase the roster size. 53 barely getting you through 16 games. Right, for some teams, you get decimated by, and Buffalo's went through it the last couple of years. You get decimated by people going down left and right. So I think that's one of the things I'm looking for if it does go to 18 there. And then the college, like, that's more opportunity for the kids. I mean, I'm for it. But here's the other thing, too, and I'm gonna pass this to Midnight Rider. Do not get mad when you get a – what's his name? Darren Peterson, the one that's about to get drafted, taking himself out of games, checking himself out of games. Because at this point, you have to look out for self. You have to protect yourself, because if you go down, you're just going to get replaced. It's just the nature of the game. They're just going to find another fast kid, another 300-pound lineman to do whatever you did. If you sustain an injury where you can't come back because you're trying to push yourself past the limit. So it has to be protections in there medically also, where you just can't discard these kids or these players because they're getting hurt and you go on to the next person. So it one hand washes the other. You got to look out for self. It's a business first. I say that all the time. It's a business first. You have to look out for self, your money, your tenure. If you want a long, tenure in the league and, you know, 16, 17, 18 games. That is a grind. That is crazy. 18 games, NFL games. Then you're traveling overseas. You're not counting. We're not talking about the travel overseas, or you the Jets and you got to go to San Francisco and come back to San Francisco. And then you play the Rams or something. It's something crazy, something stupid. Cause there's always one team in the league that has a stupid couple weeks where they're just traveling back and forth. Or you get the short week. You play Sunday and play Thursday. You know? So it has to be some concessions. We know it's going to happen. The league is valued at $20 billion. It's going to happen. So, Ryder, what you got?
No, you just changed my whole comment structure because of the way you talked about these things.
That's what I do. Foremost, I come from a single-parent household. That's what I do. I fuck shit up.
I'm going to try to be a team player coming from a two-parent household when I'm normally selfish and do it only the way I want to do it. But no, I hate y'all, man. But no, seriously. All right, here we go. Phase one. I think COVID pushed the NFL into making the right decision. So rosters kind of now are more fluid. So we technically, we always talk about the 53, but really there's the 70 because you can always pull guys up from the practice squad. And as long as you don't bring them up a certain number of times, they can stay on the practice squad and things like that. So that's one of their workarounds for that part of it. But here's the thing that's kind of stuck out to me is I've watched interviews with Will Howard, Riley Cooper, is it? That's the wide receiver from what's Riley's last name? Quarterback at Notre Dame.
Riley Leonard.
And it was another quarterback. So these three guys all said in their interviews that getting drafted to the NFL and signing the contract was a pay cut. Think about that. So if you're not a first-round rookie quarterback, and this is where you got to think about Dante Moore. Even though he probably would have been taken second overall. Would he really have came out? Because the money was probably better for him to stay at Oregon. So now you get a guy, and here's where I'm going with this. Because now you might have, now here's a guy, Chris Collinsworth, shout out, where I got him, KG. I'm here. I'm in form. Here's a guy that, you know, may stay 3 or 4 years in college, but now he's getting 15, 16 games on his body from playing 4 years of college, and he's not getting those years in the league. So now I think the average league life expectancy was like 4 years. Now, when we see these guys now that are staying because they get more in college, are we going to see that life expectancy in the NFL drop because they've played at these high profile programs, played 14-game seasons, played 15-game seasons, gone through spring practice, and gone through all this wear and tear, and now when they get to the league, maybe that body can't hold up like it used to. And maybe that's why we're seeing more injuries than we did before, because these guys, A, are staying in college longer for the money, and B, when they get to the league, they got all these miles on their bodies. They can't handle the 17-game schedule. So that's where we got to start looking at. Like, that's got to start being our questions when we're talking about the league, especially in the NFL level, even on the college level. Like, these guys are starting to play more games. You know, this expansion of the NCAA tournament, now guys are going to play more games. We're putting more games on these teenage bodies. Are we going to wear them out before they get to the place where they're supposed to be professionals? And are we going to have this drop off in terms of length of careers and things like that? Because we already this year, if you paid attention to the draft, the sixth and seventh round, there were guys getting drafted that probably wouldn't have gotten drafted in a non-NIL era because people stayed in school. So that's the interesting part about this. And that's why I brought up the question, because I was looking at it from a standpoint of, first, we got to talk career length. You know, you think of a guy at Ohio State, think of a Caleb Downs, where he played, 16 games last year. He played 15 games this year. Now he's getting into the NFL. He's going to play 17 and whatever. That's a lot of wear and tear in your body. And now because this is the part where somebody brought up Peterson earlier. And we talked about Peterson and pulling himself out of games, but you got to think about this. Peterson was taking doing the creatine thing and was cramping up. And I don't know if you've ever had a full body cramp, but having a full body cramp is one of the worst experiences you could have in your life. I've had abdomen cramps, and I know that's not even close to what a full body cramp is. And I think that made the kid gun shy, to be honest with you. I just think the kid was traumatized and he was scared to get back into that experience again. And that kind of directed him on this thing. Now, I think because we have NBA teams involved now and better trainers, because KG knows I said this when Bronny left. I don't trust college trainers. I don't trust college athletic systems. We've seen too many kids die on their watch. We had a kid at Maryland die a couple years ago. Was it 5 years ago? So I don't have that same trust system, the same belief system. And so maybe I give Peterson a little bit more gravitas or more space to operate because I don't trust these people to begin with. You know what I'm saying? So like for his situation, I think maybe he was protecting himself. But back to our question, I think from a whole standpoint, we got to be careful because they keep trying to add games to these kids' bodies. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to start killing the longevity of some of these players. KG talked about 15-year careers. I think now, because of the games they play in college, that career goes from 15 to 12. 12 might be your longest career outside of quarterbacks because you can't hit quarterbacks. So quarterbacks can play till they 65. But so that's the biggest difference I see. And that's why I brought up the question.
I'm going to say this. If you want to be honest about it, I have no problem with the kids getting paid in college. It's just the number is the problem. But
why is the number a problem?
Because honestly, if you're getting paid $5 million a year while you're in school, what's the point of leaving to go make $2.2 million in the NFL?
That's the reason we're having the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, but
think about it. But you're getting paid for your college talent. We know you could be a great college pro and not get drafted into the NBA. So you're getting paid for whatever star recruit you were, wherever you fall on the depth chart, whatever university agreed to give you, you earned that.
Why do you think Chambliss decided, I'm gonna fight in court to stay in college another year? Because he knows he can probably get $6 to $7 million or $6 to $8 million from Ole Miss. Yep. But if he goes to the pros and gets drafted in the second round, what's he getting? $2 to $3 million?
If he don't fall, if taking that chance of falling lower.
Exactly.
You know,
as my man, what's the Russian dude in Rounders? Pay me my money. That's what you gotta do. Pay him his money, dog.
All right, man. One thing I know we're not going to get anymore. Nobody, when we talk about untouchable records, George Blanda's NFL record of 26 seasons will never be touched ever.
Oh, that's a fact. But hey, you know what? Next Thursday, records that we don't think somebody will touch again.
Any sport.
I got something for the historian. He might like this. And this is something else that the NFLPA needs to consider if we're going to an 18-game. It should have already been considered. But besides that, if going to an 18-game schedule, one, a roster size increase, and maybe going from 7 to 10 rounds in the NFL draft.
You're not going to go to 10 rounds only because I'll tell you this now. The reason you won't go to 10 is because you're already going to keep those UDFAs and everything else. So no need in putting people on contracts. You've already expanded the roster. And then you expanded the roster to a point where you can add in guys that have had NFL experience to the practice squad. So you would never go 10 rounds because you don't have the talent for 10. You barely have the talent for 7 now.
Hold on.
I'm looking as a, and I'm putting my NFLPA hat on. I'm trying to get guaranteed contracts, more roster spots. What better way to guarantee your roster spot or get on a team adding another round or 2 rounds?
See, that's the only problem you have in that is the NFLPA don't think like that.
Oh, I know they don't.
Yeah.
If they thought like me, we wouldn't have went to 17 without guaranteed contracts or some type of it didn't have to be completely guaranteed, some type of guarantee and some type of roster increase. I would have went at least from 53 to 60.
And think about it. The only reason you got the roster increase was because of COVID.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, BJ.
I want you to lie to me.
Well, if I lie to you, well, this is a great idea. But remember, well, you can't remember because you weren't born. We used to have 12 rounds. Mm-hmm. The NFL draft used to be 12 rounds. And you say we don't have enough talent. We didn't have enough talent when Bart Starr went in round number 17 in 1955. We had less teams and less talent.
I'm gonna channel my inner Raider. Draft, baby. Just draft.
Dude, all right. So think about this. If you're drafting for 10 teams for 17 rounds, and you compare that to drafting for 30 teams for 10 rounds, think of the disproportionate number of players that are getting picked.
You right?
In a 10-team draft with 17 rounds, you're only getting at the top 170. So you're not even getting close to exhausting the amount of players.
Now, I'm just going to throw this out.
You did a 10-round draft with 32 teams. You're at 320.
Right.
So we're adding 150 players to a draft. So are they worthy?
You know where a lot of people would say they're worthy because, oh, well, you got the HBCUs and nobody picks from and those guys can play. Somebody's going to stump, going to jump on their soapbox and stump for that.
No, that's not somebody. That's you.
No, that's not me.
Yes, it will be.
We're not going to do that.
That will be, oh, John Stallworth. Oh, Buddy Lane or whoever it was. You're just going to name people from the old school.
I can name plenty of people. Bart Starr, 1956, 17th round, 200th overall pick. Yes, we don't need 17 rounds. We went to 7 rounds in 94. So we've been doing this for 32 years at 7 rounds.
Right.
If you're not good enough to get picked in those 7 rounds, you better be good enough to be picked up as an undrafted free agent because those guys make teams too, and those guys make daggone legendary careers.
You're not thinking about the numbers, KG. The number is we're at 32 teams. So now we're at 263 players or 200. Because once we add in all the other picks, we're at like 270 players being taken.
And we still got the supplemental draft.
Say that again?
And we still got the supplemental draft.
Don't nobody get taken in the supplemental draft. The supplemental draft is about as important as the mole on Miss Piggy's asshole. What are
we talking about here? How you know she got a mole on her ass? I don't want to know. But, okay.
I'm trying to be as preposterous as possible. I'm sorry. That was just strictly to be preposterous.
So are you saying drop it down to 5 rounds?
No. I'm saying stay at 7 because that's the where you're going to be at. But the thing that you're getting now is – think about it like this. When I listen to JP and B. Mitch, JP always has this thing he says. He says, think about NFL rosters as a 70-man roster, not a 53-man roster. Because you can put players, you can hide players on your 70-man roster that will come up and play They'll come up and do spot duty. You know what I'm saying? But every team now has 70 players on their roster, technically, that they can pull from. Whether it's your fourth quarterback, whether it's your seventh or eighth receiver, depending on how you do it, whether it's your fifth running back, whatever it is, you have that option now. So that gives them the level to do it. But the problem is, and the part of the crux of the argument is, you can have all the players. The problem is, they're putting too many miles in their body ahead of time to have these long careers now, because you're playing 16, 16, and 16 in college. Then you get to the NFL and you're playing 17, 17, 18, and 18. So now your career expectancy falls off. Now, if they were smart like the Boss B, they'd argue for guaranteed contracts. So that way that money's there in their pockets and they can get it. But the problem is, you got a kid walking into a league. I mean, think about AJ DiBianco, or however you say his name is.
The kid, the Banser.
He got $8 million just for playing at BYU last year. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, $8 million for that. Now, think about this. If we expand it even further, Ryan Smith with his family from Boston. Boston to Utah. So however long his high school career was, he was there for his high school career. And I guarantee you Ryan Smith took care of them. Then he got to BYU, or committed to BYU for however long that was. And that 1 year, he got $8 million. Like, the dude made out. He's making out.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Maddie, give us the update. It's tied at 3 with 11:59 to go in the second. That was 23 minutes ago. I know we passed that now.
We're at 5-3, Montreal 2:17.
Good grief. What'd I do, Perry? What'd I do? I don't know what I did.
What did I do?
Lee, I said, shout out to Miss Piggy and her mole.
We love you, girl.
Oh, shit. Well,
listen to Love Talking Slow Jams later on, Miss Piggy. I got you. Let's get out of here, man. We've done enough.
Look, I already know what song you requested. You know, what's my man name? God, what the fuck is his name? It'll come to me. Wrap that shit up, fellas.
I ain't got nothing. I
Mary said Bar Star.
Well, yeah. 17th round, 1956. I mean, we don't need 17 rounds.
You only had 10 teams. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm good. Go ahead, KG. You close us out.
BJ, you got anything?
I don't have anything. I just had to lecture the coach of Memphis, which he'll play his first round college football playoff game party tomorrow night. So other than that, no, I'm good.
Let's float the idea of a gridiron either this week or next week.
Okay. Okay, I see what I can do. I'll let you know tomorrow night.
Playoff edition.
Playoffs. The artist I was looking for is Mark Rebillet. And I know what song Midnight Ride is going to request from Miss Piggy. It would be one. Where is that? Come on, help me out. Of course, I can't find it because I want it.
Maybe that's a good sign. Maybe we need to get it back.
Maybe it's a good sign. Of course, I can't find it. All right, I can't find it. But yeah, I'll send it to you, Midnight Rider. But it's a
we pushed the levels of reasonable conversation to a certain point tonight.
Yeah. So
this might have to be a Sideline Junkies uncut.
All I got to say is remember. Saturday morning, possibly check your local listings for the Gridiron at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs at 9 p.m. right here on the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network. Then Sunday morning, get up and rise on up with the Sunday Rise at 11 a.m. to get your week started off right. So that's all I got. For the Boss BJ, the Midnight Rider, I'm the Big Guy KG. We done did a lot of overtime, but it was a good show, man. Make sure you check us out on all your audio streaming platforms. We there, baby, tomorrow morning. So until then, we out of here.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.